minute, Crossface.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 204. Happy Friday.
Yeah, Friday fun. Well, not really that fun because I brought out the recording device and said, Josh, we need to do this now. I have to go pick up Bodie.
Well, it was very unlike you. Well, you took a pause before you said that because I was like, Tommy had just lectured me yesterday about I can't do the show at the beginning of the day because it just fucks me up for the rest of the day, like a little snowflake.
No, Bodie's got what they think is hand, foot and mouth disease.
Mm.
How full on does that sound?
It does sound full on. It sounds like a mad cow disease.
Oh, that was full on. That was scary for a while. That was more in England.
Yeah.
So hand, foot, mouth. He's had these little spots on his mouth. They look like pimples. He just looked like he had a breakout.
Sure, that's not what I had. Can
yours is
get
gone?
It?
Nah, Mason. We've got Mason here. Say hello.
Sup? How you going?
Yeah. So we talked about Mason yesterday.
Yeah.
And so we decided that we would get the third microphone out. So when there's moments that we need clarity on things.
Yeah.
Or we just need a third opinion. Mason's this, our guy.
No, it's only for infants and children younger than five.
Okay,
oh, perfect.
Sorry, Josh.
This is great. This is like Siri.
I feel like I've got an extension of my brain. Yeah. I feel smarter for having Mason on the mic.
Mason, what was your enter score? What did you get? Do you call it an enter score?
ATAR.
An ATAR, yeah?
Yeah,
97.
97. But he still doesn't know that you have to talk into the mic and not look at you while you...
Yeah, whoops.
97 is what
that's
he said.
That's full on. I got 0 because I didn't do it.
Yeah. I got 46.
46?
Yeah.
So between the three of us, it's an average of something that's okay.
we're doing pretty good.
We all passed. Yeah. So that's the rest of my day. So I'm sorry, but I've got to leave. This is the thing. I've been saying we went to America and we spoke to Brad Blanks, who told us that, you know, most people need to be earning around 150 grand to live over there.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the more, and I always think about it like this, the more money you earn, the more responsibility.
More money, more problems. Are you okay?
More money, the more responsibility your job will entail, the more trust they put in you, the more, not hours, but the more you have to service them because they are the person paying you. So when you are two full-time parents, what the fuck do you do?
Mm.
Like I'm lucky that I can leave and do some work from home.
Yeah.
And Amy's at work. But what do you do when you're too corporate high flyer? I guess you got nannies and shit.
Yeah, I guess I think Brad was saying they had nannies.
Nannies are massively popular in America. They're cheaper.
Yeah.
They're cheaper over there. So it's a service job, so they're getting probably a small amount. But what do you do when this is the case?
I think you're probably right. Were you saying that you think that Bodie got it from daycare?
Oh, yeah. That was my first. You heard me blaming. Someone's given it to him.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the transfer company from the airport.
Hang on. How do you get so you have to catch it from somewhere.
Can I just say that Mason did like a real silent chuckle then to himself? Can I just encourage Mason that if you're going to laugh at one of my jokes, just
mate,
laugh.
You spent yesterday pulling people up about them not laughing at what you were. That was funny, right? I was like, the reaction they gave you was actually the response. You didn't need the – sometimes people don't laugh. People are like, ah, yeah, or yeah.
But this is what I'm encouraging Mason to do at this moment is if we say anything funny,
yeah,
a little bit like Cackling Jack.
Just a big laugh in the background.
Big laugh, a big cackle. Okay, go on. What were you saying to you?
I can't remember, but yeah. So my day.
So you're blaming the childcare.
Yeah, someone at the childcare you think would have to have it.
Mm.
Oh, it comes through. It's transmitted through feces. So, unwashed hands. So,
there's a lot of shit flying around the daycares. It's full on. Oh my God! I read something yesterday that they were doing a test on people's stools,
yeah,
and they found that the majority of stools had plastic pieces within them, like plastic particles.
Was this? I also read an article about salt. Did you hit like half? Like there was a huge amount of actual salt that is just like filler plastic.
Oh, okay. So what? Hang on, wait. In a salt shaker,
yeah. If you buy salt,
you're buying plastic.
Like half, like there might be a little bit. Maybe it's the old Coles bags. I don't know. But
okay, I'm going to tell you a funny story just on the salt. This has nothing to do with plastic, but it's a good time to tell this story.
Is it a prank?
No. A
lot of salt pranks.
You can almost think this story, the person was doing a prank
mm-hmm.
and there was going to be this moment where it's like, I'm just kidding. So Amy used to live in a share house up in Sydney and I hope a housemate's not listening to
this
show.
So was it one housemate?
No, there was three of them in there. Amy had the best room. I lived there for a little bit when I moved up to Sydney before.
What made it the best room?
It was on the street, big window. You could, lots of light coming in. So it was just a nicer, it's like there's always one primo room that one housemate gets that pays a little bit more
mm-hmm.
and she had it. So it was sick. But anyway, one of her other housemates kept using Amy's Himalayan rock salt on her dinner.
Yeah.
Because Amy buys the primo shit, the pink one in the grinder.
And so wouldn't salt just, but would you think that salt is the communal, that would count as communal?
Share house. You've never lived in a share house. No. Dude, share houses, you've got your own cupboard. Sure.
Are you kidding me? Isn't a share house the idea that everyone's got their own lounge room as well?
Section. So in, say, like your old apartment in Abbotsford, you've got the corner cupboard, that's my area. Really? You've got the far right, that's where you keep your shit. Uh-huh. And mine's over here. And of course it's like if your friends is, hey, do you mind if I use this?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a case of Amy's very generous and I'm sure the salt, she didn't give a shit. Her friend was using the salt, Himalayan rock salt, I'll say that again, not even a sponsor, but she was using it so much that it went really quickly. And so when two people are using it, when it went like there was two people using it.
But even if you were using salt a lot, I feel like you'd still get like what out of a normal salt sort of grinder a month?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the other housemate was using it. That's why it went quick. But anyway, this housemate said, oh, look, I've been using your salt. I'm going to go get another one for us.
I hope it was Himalayan salt.
It was white table salt.
You can't do that. Thank you, mate. That was good. Mason did his first laugh. Annoying that it came from something Tommy said. That's all right.
This is going to be a competition of who can make Mason laugh. Is that the show?
Yeah, potentially. Okay. And so did Amy say anything or?
No, she didn't. I don't think she addressed it.
Did she even, I would in that moment just buy new salt?
I wouldn't
own and just start using it and it would sort of send, was it in, I can imagine what it's like. It's almost like the real big thing of table salt that's in like the no brand.
Yeah.
With like the red, like just says salt on it.
Yeah, the red mm-hmm. opener and you just twist that. Oh, it's disgusting.
You don't even crunch it. You don't even, mate, it's already crunched up.
It's what you use when you have an ulcer and you put it in water to rinse your mouth out. That's when that shit's great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know when you'd want to use that. Maybe at a fish and chip shop when they are doing the $2 worth of chips. But even like that's old school. Now it's like most places are using Himalayan rock salt. Mm-hmm. But Josh, people start taking stuff to their room. I had one housemate who would take the peanut butter and what else? It was some other spread. They'd take it back to their room because they didn't want us using it.
I'd do that.
You would?
I'd take the peanut butter.
I think I'd do the same thing. I did it with, like, I feel like when I had a sort of co-working space, my AeroPress, I got like a coffee thing and I just don't like I like, if I use something, I'll clean it up, I'll put it away. And so like our, one of our mates is making like a coffee, an all-in-one coffee maker. Yeah. And what I was saying to him is what I like about it is that the design is that you can sort of take it back to your desk so you don't keep it in the communal kitchen
mm-mm.
where people are going to fuck it.
Yeah. Yes.
Or I couldn't do communal.
I'd love to see you in a big share house. I reckon you'd get real snarky. Like you'd start keeping track. Not because – no, see the thing is I don't start off doing that.
No,
it's
like,
way.
You know what, guys? It's all good. I'll have – like I've got the TV, Netflix, everyone use that all you want.
It's really
hard. And then there'll
be
some sort of blow up.
It's really hard.
I don't know when the blow up would happen.
I've had bad share houses, not really bad, but just ones. Yeah, because they're not your loved ones. Mm. Because it's hard having honest conversations at like all the time, and sometimes you let shit slide and people cleaning. It is like I was listening to someone talk about her living with three guys,
yeah,
and she's the only one that cleans, and her thing was like they don't even realize.
But there's some cases where it's just a matter of taste. So for instance, Bree and I are going. We're house sitting in Richmond again, starting today. And so
today?
Yeah, it starts today. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah. So you've got the key?
Yeah, Bree does. So we had to bring a bag, obviously, with us to be able to go and stay there. And we've been at my parents' place for the last week, and. So Bree was getting all of her stuff ready last night, and she front foots it because she knows that I was planning on doing it in the morning, and we have to leave home at 5:30 in the morning to be able to get to her F45. And so we had an argument about that, about the idea that she was saying I should be doing it now in the evening, so I don't have to do it in the morning. And my point is, if I get up at 5, I can quickly pack it, because the thing is, I'm still going to need my toiletries. I'm still going to need clothes. I've been living out of a bag for the past 4 months. It's not going to take me that long.
I observed you at night, and I observed you in the morning when we were away just for a short time. I reckon for you the morning's probably the better option.
Yeah.
You turn to shit at night.
Well, I just want to get – it's my bedtime. I worked out that the first night that I was at my parents' place, I was so tired. I went to bed and I sort of tucked myself in real early, and then Bree had just said, oh, I'm having a magnesium tablet. Do you want one? And said, yeah, I'll have one. And I had the magnesium tablet and I was listening to Howard Stern or whatever, like the Sirius XM app, and I was just sort of in bed and I fell asleep. It would have been before 8 o'clock, and I woke up in the middle of the night. It was dark. I'm like, I can't remember. You know that feeling of like when you're a kid and you fall asleep somewhere and you wake up somewhere else? It was sort of, I had that feeling.
It's more of an adult feeling when I've drank too much that I've had that.
Two laughs. All right. I'm about to show
you. Three laughs. I'll give you that laugh.
Okay, thank you.
But it was because you rode off the back of my laugh.
I'm just lobbing the ball up. That's why I'm just the ball lubber. And we need to get to Mason's nickname in a sec. But what the fuck was I just talking about?
The magnesium.
Magnesium. So I worked out that I was like, oh, this is a routine that I think would work quite well. So for the past 5 nights, I've done the same. Like I've said, asked Bree, I've tucked myself in and said, Bree, can you please get me the magnesium?
So you're thinking the magnesium tablet.
Yeah, well, I think the whole process, I don't know which part it was. I don't know. There's something really comforting about someone bringing something. It's like when I was a kid, I'd be like, Mom. She's like, yes. I'm like, can I have some water, please? Like, I would never drink water throughout the day. I would only have like one glass. I'd be, you know, like when you're a kid, you're real thirsty. Like drinking water real quick because you feel like you're about to die because you've forgotten to drink water all day. And so, yeah, I'd gotten into the habit in the past week of tucking myself in at about 8:30, 9 o'clock. And Bree will bring in the magnesium and I'll have it and I'll have the best sleep.
I want to know though, do you think the magnesium is something to do with sleep?
Well, the magnesium relaxes you.
Does it?
Yeah.
Can you look this up?
Is that all it's for? Or are you muscle cramps or something?
Yeah, well, I'm sore all the time.
Mason just trolled you. All the working out.
I took it seriously. I walk a lot.
Recovery.
Yeah.
You're activating
No,
your
I
recovery.
Think the magnesium definitely does something. What does it say, Mason?
Helps regulate sleep quality, helps you get to sleep, plays a big part in helping you achieve deep and restful sleep.
There you go. I was actually telling my mum's boss, I went and visited her at work the other day. And
went to do a keynote.
Exactly. Yeah, just doing a little prezzo.
An unpaid prezzo keynote motivationals.
I told a story. Get ready for another Google in a second, Mason, because I told a story about how he had just bought magnesium and then we got on to whether we took magnesium, and I told the story that one time I took three magnesiums. What do you think would happen if you took three magnesiums?
Nothing.
I was woken up by a boner, like my boner. Right. So, and so I was trying to work out. So, if, Mason, if you can type in magnesium erection.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is authorized. But
curating your Google searches. Yeah,
no, but the magnet. So,
erectile dysfunction.
No, no. So, if you type in, just type in magnesium erection. So, what it turns out, what I found anyway, was that an erection is actually the relaxation of the penis muscle.
Relaxation of them?
Yeah. So it's not like it tightening up. Like you need to be relaxed. You're actually relaxing that muscle to get it erect. And so what magnesium can do, I see Mason's really struggling with this Google.
No, it helps treat erectile dysfunction.
Magnesium does.
Yeah.
So I think because it maybe helps regulate blood flow.
Okay.
And it relaxes you. Mm. I had taken so many that I literally had woken up with sort of like just like fucking hitting me in the mattress, like just sort of
pitch
like
tent. That's
yeah, pitch tent. I woke up middle of the night. It was crazy. I'd never experienced anything like that before. It woke me up and Brie. Yeah.
Well, maybe I
thanks, Mason. There we go.
Maybe the story that my brother told of me having to get the water.
Yeah, you had to be hosed down when you were a kid because you were uncomfortable.
My erection wouldn't go down.
Yeah.
I remember those kind of things happening. But maybe as a kid I had a really great supply of magnesium coming from somewhere.
Well, maybe it's not just blood flow.
I reckon it's just testosterone as well.
You reckon you were like 11 years old just...
Bodie's already getting... He woke up this morning with a little boner.
Just like his dad.
Just... I actually did too, but I need to go to the toilet, so I don't know the difference.
Yeah.
I'm scared when my son has one because it's like it could be a sign he's about to just projectile piss, which is what you do when you piss, it shoots. You have to tuck it down under the nappy.
This is the second time we've talked about Bodhi's penis on the show.
It
becomes a big part
of
your life.
No, but he laughs as well. He grabs it and he just thinks it's hilarious. He's really into watching me piss as well. And he's like waiting for it. And
did you ever, when I was younger, when we're going to bed or whatever at night, and we all needed to piss before we went to bed, especially because I used to wet the bed when I was young. So it was always like, but it never helped pissing before the bed. Whatever reason, I'd still piss the bed.
Well, it's
got nothing.
Because
to
when
do
you're
with
awake,
it.
When you need a pee, you know the sense is there, and you actually go and take a piss. I pissed the bed until I was like six or something. Pretty late, seven. You were later?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember being like, I think probably grade six at least. So,
grade six.
I was at 11. Yeah. I remember like getting a little bit nervous about high school and starting to have to do like,
really?
Go to, I was a bedwetter.
My mum had to buy an alarm to wake me up in the night.
She was
telling me the other day, you put sensors in the nappy. And then it sends an alarm when it detects.
Well, I was so old that I would get
but
the pull-ups.
I was six.
You were six.
Six.
I had underneath my bed sheets. I was in a bunk bed and mum got this thing that had an alarm as well. Yeah. And it was a mat that went underneath the sheet that when I started and it felt moisture, it would go off. And
mine was less intense than that. Like we just had like we just replaced it with like rubber sheets. I was just sleeping in like the plastic. Horrendous.
Feels like you're at school camp and the mattress has actually just got.
Oh, school camp was a disaster. Like I never pissed the bed. I've got to work out the exact timelines, but I definitely remember, you know, wearing pull-ups. And I think this was, you know, that you're. Like when there's sizing issues with the pull-ups, like you can't find them big enough.
When they become adult nappies.
Adult nappies. I don't think I ever got to that. But I definitely remember the fear of having to go to people's houses.
My mum says that I came to her at because I remember we went to like different specialists to help me try and kick this thing. And she tells me the story that I came to her and said, it's now time for me to stop. And I stopped.
Oh, that's good. So it's all psychological. You just had to say
either I was doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I had to stop. I decided to stop.
And that's all it took.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like I was a little bit old, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. No judgment now. If you're listening to this podcast and you're still wet in the bed.
Maybe you've got an alarm.
You could think there'd be good iPhone apps and stuff that sort out that sort of shit now. Like the bed wet. Oh, like how many days in a row you haven't pissed the bed as a good one. Hey, on social, I teased this on the weekend about the fact that we received a follow from someone on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And I did a tease that I would talk about it on the show.
Yeah, no better time than nearly the following weekend.
Yeah, well, I felt like I need to at least get it out there. No, so there's this guy, I'm trying to pull up his name. I think his name's Stephen. Do you reckon it's defamatory if I give his full name?
No, I think he outed himself at a certain action.
Yeah.
So I just say his first name.
Yeah, I think his name's Stephen. Anyway, yeah. If you go into his bio, it's like a five-time Walkley Award winner. So he's this a journalist. Walkley Awards, like, you know, journalistic excellence or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. Anyway, about a year and a half ago, I received a follow from this guy. He works for Channel 7. Mm. I think it's the Sunday show. Might as well just fucking really throw it in. That's what's on his bio.
Diving the knife in, yeah. Twisting currently.
And so I got a follow from him. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like I'm on this, you know, when someone follows, you're like, oh, I'm on someone's radar, and you sort of click through. It's like, then you start to analyze. I wonder why they started following, like where would they have found me through? Anyway, I started following him and then I just felt like, I think he may have liked one of my posts, which is a telltale sign that potentially there's some sort of bot going on. You know, that they're using some sort of mechanism, especially if there's a couple of, if you get a follow and then a couple of likes afterwards, yeah. Definitely using a bot.
And definitely use a bot when they say great pick and it's on your video.
Exactly. But there are people who genuinely act like a bot, but they're not a bot. Example, Peter Hitchener. He's the biggest supporter. He'll go through and like 10 of your things, yeah. One after the other. But he's just a fucking lovely dude. That's the difference. But so this journalist a year and a half ago followed me. I started following him. I just kept a tab of him. And then maybe a week later, I went into his following and typed in my name and it was gone. So the fucker had followed me, liked a couple of my things, got me to follow him and then unfollowed me.
Yeah.
And so I unfollowed him and would just sort of let it go.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the last few months, he followed me again on my Josh Jansen account and did the same thing, liked a couple of things, then unfollowed. And then he's done it to the Daily Talk Show as well. Before he did it to the Daily Talk Show, I reached out to him on Instagram DMs and said, hey, are you using a bot or something because I'm getting followed and unfollowed? And I think he saw it, but he didn't respond at all.
Okay. And so you're a follower of his?
Once I worked out what he was doing, but then I look and there's all these people, I think that you even follow him.
Really?
So you've fallen for the trap. And so he's got like 80,000 followers.
Jeez.
And it's all this bullshit.
Influence. Follow for follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. What do we think this is okay?
I've used one of those things. So a lot of those platforms have been shut down.
Mm.
What is it? The API. API. So they mount through your login into Instagram through their platform. And then you can set it for all these different ones. Instagress was one that you can set it to people who follow people who are friends with Josh Jansen.
Yeah.
So I would then just start following all your friends, which people would probably follow me back because they know me through you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then there's the one step further of unfollow if they don't follow you back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so once they follow you, you then unfollow them. So you drive your count down. So here's the thing. I didn't pay for it. I was like years ago, ran it on my account. it annoyed me so much because there was so much bullshit in my feed of all these people that I'd started following. I didn't do the unfollow thing. I just like follow a bunch of these people. And I've only recently, and this is why I know about it, I've gone through and started culling in my follow
list.
All
the people that you...
But no, what I found was if you swipe, because in Instagram, it actually has in like the order of when you followed them. Mm-hmm. So you can see when you were following someone. And so I found these like sporadic groups of these random YouTubers that I was following. And so I unfollowed them. It is gross. Like nowadays, it is such a horrible... I mean...
As a journalist...
It's so a weird, think, yeah.
Isn't
so it's
like, isn't a weird thing to? He's got 81,000 followers or whatever. He follows 4,000. I just think that integrity-wise, it doesn't look good at all.
I mean, that would be to assume that journalists have integrity.
Well, I think they do. Like, I do. I think that, like, with the fucking war on journalism at the moment, I think that journalists are. I respect them. I think they're so important. It's what, like, we need some way or ethics to be able to run how we do communicate, how we communicate things within the world. Mm. But I think that this looks fucking bad when you've got this dude who's following and unfollowing. And then, so I did this Insta story where I screen grab because I was just sitting back and I get this follow. I'm like, this fucker has started following me. I know who this is. And then I click on it and straight away, 2 likes. And so I screen grabbed it. And I did an Insta story on the Daily Talk Show and I said, this week we're going to talk about people using bots. And I tagged him.
Yeah.
And then he has since blocked the Daily Talk Show.
That is so good. Well, you put up a photo. So
it was an Insta story, yeah.
Another photo though. Mm-hmm. So anytime you put anything up that's in LA or New York, it's amazing. Oh, yes. So many people have the filter of...
Tag New York.
If you tag New York, you need to. When you posted a photo of us doing episode 200 at LA, just near In-N-Out, LAX, this guy, Zach, wrote, Josh, lovely Insta. Look at this account to go LA viral. It's like but that's even taken your name, which is interesting.
Yeah, well,
so they're getting sophisticated.
But so I think that... Have a look at your, like, I think people should, if you are on Instagram, have a look and see if you've got a guy named Stephen who you follow.
Well, let me just check now. I might have unfollowed him in
so
my unfollow.
So S-T-E-V-E, sorry, Steve.
S-T-E-V-E.
Yeah. So if you just look at that.
Steve.
And he's wearing like a navy t-shirt and he's got a smile on.
Oh, yeah. Beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a blue tick.
So he's verified.
He's verified.
So it's one of the faces of Channel 7's Sunday Night, 5-time Walkley Award winner, Sydney-based When I'm Not on the Road.
Interesting.
So he's got 86,800 people who follows him and he follows 4,700. But I just don't think we should be encouraged. It seems like the anti-social of social media.
Well, it also like what – this is what I look at some people who have – heaps of followers, like 80,000 is a lot. And I think, what do they follow him for? Yeah. I look at that, like, I don't know what I get out of that content.
Well, you probably, old TV? You started following him, yeah?
No, I'm not following him. Might have unfollowed, I might have unfollowed him.
So, but I think that probably-
Unless
if
my bot's
follows,
still active from 2 or 3
if someone, if someone follows you and you would naturally click through and follow them. But I just think it's gross.
Yeah.
I don't think you should do it.
No, I agree. I think that bot stuff is ridiculous now. It is you're trying to gain attention through something. I think it's the goals are in the wrong order, right? People are wanting followers before they want to do something great.
It's so narcissistic and it's an extension of the other trend that's happening at the moment, which I'm not sure on, is people are saying, oh, I'm over social media. I can't do social media anymore. It's making, it's giving me anxiety or whatever. Fair enough. It's giving everyone anxiety, mate. But the thing that is interesting is that they're saying, they'll do a post and they say, hey guys, I've decided I'm changing things up and I've unfollowed everyone on my Instagram. Have you seen this trend? I've had 3 or 4 people I have seen do it.
So they follow 0 people, which means they would have nothing in their Insta feed.
Yeah. So they zero people they follow.
So it's only, yeah. So okay, but then their intention is just to create, but with
so then those so they're expecting me to follow them. Yeah. Because these fucking narcissists think they've got something to say. No, fuck them.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You can't. Like, isn't that showing your narcissistic cards?
Yeah. Well, Eminem.
I mean, even
Eminem has none. He has no followers. He's following no one and has 20 million followers. It's if we play devil's advocate in the space of being a creative, if you just want to be famous, that's you're like, I think that's a dying slope, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a creative or a video person or
who needs to share
a photographer that has, so you're in this game of trying to build up an audience to do the thing that you love doing, it helps that, like,
it's the equivalent of announcing that you're quitting sugar but you own the biggest lolly shop. Right? So you're happy for everyone else to consume your content,
yeah,
but you don't think that it's okay mentally for you, yeah, but you're happy to feed that beast.
It's a massive status move, like it is, or an ego play,
yeah,
to go, yeah, I think, yeah, it's not on.
And then the classic thing, this has happened basically every time this has happened, they'll post 3 days after they do, they've unfollowed everyone, they'll do an Insta story saying, OMG, so much drama from unfollowing everyone. I didn't realize everyone cared so much.
Content creator.
and so, like, it's driving me crazy.
So all these things at some point worked, and that's why people still think they should do it.
Well, it's broadcast, right? It's like, it's probably treating it more like a TV show, which is like, TV is you do your thing and no one can tell you, you know, you're not following anyone back. It's a broadcast medium.
Yeah.
And I like it. Like, there's something nice about a broadcast medium. I don't know.
Would you get rid of all your followers and then start again?
Would I block all?
No, just unfollow everybody and then start it again. So you then.
Oh, so is that a wank move? Unfollow people and then only follow. I even struggled with unfollowing people. Because I've done a few culls over the years where it's like I followed 1,200 people and I brought it down to 700. But then, yeah, I've had moments of like, if I unfollow, like I've unfollowed people and then thought, actually, I like their stuff, but I feel a bit weird now re-following because one of my favorite things is when someone has unfriended me on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they've come crying back like a little baby with a
So,
with
Mason, you have an Insta account. Do you have any photos on it?
Nah.
Mason,
zero. I sort of got rid of them at the start of this year.
He's done the opposite. Well, I won't get rid of my follows.
Content. It makes it.
I'll get rid of the content.
Well, Mason,
it's the ultimate rebrand.
Yeah, well, you're 18, yeah, right? And so if you think about the shit that, like, it wasn't when you were when you started Instagramming, you were also wetting the bed. Right? So it's just like, you're not the pull-up guy anymore. You need to, but that's the thing. I had Facebook when I was still in high school, Instagram when I was in high school. If you scroll right back to the start, it was like just the dumbest post. Actually, maybe Facebook was definitely high school. Instagram, I wonder. I have to have a look.
There is ways of, I've seen a few big celebrities do it. I don't know how, but they've removed all their content.
Yeah.
And then it goes back up.
Yeah. Oh, it's archived.
Yeah. So you can archive
button. Yeah.
So maybe Mason had a full feed and he's archived that.
Have you just archived?
No, I actually went through and deleted them.
Okay.
What was
anything really offensive on there? Or?
Nah, it was.
Can we just comment on Mason's mic technique? What an absolute cowboy. Just like 10 meters away.
I appreciate him trying to engage in you. He's locking eyes, yeah, talking to Josh.
No, he's doing
so his
job.
Mic technique's rubbish when
fine.
He tries to lock
no,
eyes.
This is Josh.
We've got to adjust the mic.
Yeah, there we go. Mason's the only one with the stand. Yeah, go on. So yeah, what sort of content did you have on there? You with like your school uniform?
No, I actually don't think there was. Nah, it was sort of just like photos with friends and that sort of thing.
Okay.
I mean, we've got a puppy as well, so she was on there just – I don't know. Oh, yeah.
You
like
tried that angle to get some followers.
Yeah.
How many followers? How many followers have you got on Instagram?
I would maybe like 300.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which they're not there for the content.
Yeah, 100%.
They're actually friends of his.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
How many friends do you actually think you have, Mason?
In real life.
In real life.
It's cut down a lot. A lot. Yeah. Just after finishing school, it's sort of, I would say my friendship group's probably 5 to 7 people.
Mm. It's got his close knit circle of 5.
Yeah. I think if I think about who I've actually 100% we are. Yeah. If I think about how many people I've actually caught up with since I've been back.
Yeah.
No one.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Literally, like I haven't Bree's phone lights up a bit more than mine.
Yeah.
I've had on one hand I can count how many conversations I've had. But I like it. Like I
much because you're not wanting to be guys, I'm back.
Yeah. So
what I've actually found with social media is that because I've been posting content from stuff from being overseas, mm-hmm. I feel like there was a time that we posted the episode, but we were the last episode in America, which was episode 200, yeah. And there was the last kind of photo. I felt like people probably didn't think I was actually back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what's in your peripheral? People aren't focused. They don't really give a shit about
me. People forget about you very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. As much as they're friends, they're just like, oh, he's not back yet. Yeah. And so they're like, oh, I thought you were away. I saw someone drive, I was driving, saw Hayden, yeah. Hayden Wilson, and I was like, tooted the horn. He's like, I thought you were away. Yeah, don't listen to Instagram. I just hadn't run it. I didn't want to confuse people. Mm. Isn't that fucked? My thinking is don't confuse people with posting photos back here because
I think I told you to do that.
Did
I think
you?
That
was probably a brand strategy.
Didn't want to confuse. Because we did have a couple that we had pre-recorded, which we at the moment we are just doing every day. But there are moments like when we were away, all of those guest interviews were pre-records.
Well, yeah, because they weren't on the – we didn't – record and release on the same day. Yeah.
Exactly. Nickname for Mason.
Yeah, so Mason came into my life when he dumped me a message, an inbox, mm-hmm. slid into my email.
How did you find Tommy? How did this happen?
Through you.
Through me.
Through Josh.
Classic.
First time I heard of that.
So how did it happen?
So I was sort of looking for a few mentors and I wanted one in digital marketing, sort of one in content creation. Mm-hmm. And so I went through video production Melbourne and came across Josh.
The fucking SEO.
Look at the smirk on
the
Josh.
He's so happy with himself.
Yeah, I love a bit of SEO, very good. Yeah. But then you ended up with fucking Tommy.
So what lured you over to mine?
Did I not respond to your email?
I didn't cop a follow. Yeah. I didn't cop a connection on LinkedIn.
Did you add me on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I went for the ad on LinkedIn and didn't cop a...
Do you know what? That's really interesting because I have... That's one thing that you do, TJ, which I... don't do.
I accept everyone.
Yeah, you accept everyone.
You're at a business event.
But I went, because I worked at a tech company that was global, I had so many people from India and Asia and like in different industry, digital things all fucking reaching out.
What's
and connecting.
Matter?
Well, because...
Open up your network, baby.
No, but then you also think about with the way these algorithms end up going is if... half of the people who I'm connected with don't actually engage with my content or are, you know, aligned with what I do, it doesn't necessarily make sense. But okay, interesting. So
you're treating it like a closed group. I think it's the good thing about early days of LinkedIn is that it takes some effort to add somebody. It's not like a Insta follow. It's clearly,
I normally check to see what the injury, like I'll look at most people or whatever and say, okay, what are they... how many mutual connections do we have? Would we ever be doing business together?
Interesting.
But maybe I should open it up.
I think networking at its core outside of social media is every communication, every connection you have, you don't know that the dude who is just goes to the local milk bar that you chat to when you go there.
But I would
whose uncle
them.
Is the CEO of a big company that wanted you to do a video.
But so that's a difference between they're in my sphere, the guy who does SEO marketing.
You're on an aeroplane. You bump into a guy. Hey, mate, he just seems nice. Add him on LinkedIn. Turns out he's the CEO of one of the biggest companies in America. Like that, I was sitting next to a guy. I didn't actually add him on LinkedIn, but the person I was with became friends with him on LinkedIn. He's the CEO of the largest logistics company in America. And it's like
and he was flying economy.
Yeah, crazy. It was a Melbourne to Sydney flight, Melbourne to Brisbane. But the point is,
were you like,
the strategy.
Oh, can I add you as well?
It's not about. I think It's the potential of business. Yeah. And I didn't even approach it like that.
No, I think it's good. No, I think it makes sense. I think because I started on LinkedIn quite early, like I got recommendations since 2011. Like you go onto my LinkedIn, there's a fair bit going on there. But maybe I should open it up because I was sort of like, this is clean. This is almost another version of email. I just didn't want to get bombarded with shit inboxes. In saying that, it sounds like this.
Feeds as well. I mean, you look at the feeds, people are just pushing so much crap on there.
So you tried to add me on LinkedIn. I didn't accept.
Yeah, didn't cop the accept. Yeah. And
he's broken.
No, I went through social media profiles just to do a bit of research before I reached out.
Yeah.
And then I just chucked Tommy an email.
Yeah. And then found the real gold or found the second best.
I'll go. And so we need a nickname for Mason then. Maybe it's something around LinkedIn.
So we'll create this on our Reddit. We can get this going.
Do you know what I worked out? You can actually say thedailytalkshow.reddit.com.
Oh, cool.
So that subdomain then goes to the other one. So that's a good little tip.
So thedailytalkshow.reddit.com.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to work out what Mason's nickname should be. Mason, can you do a little bit of an intro on who you are in Reddit?
Oh, Jesus.
And maybe if you can, it'd be good to link up a photo or whatever. I'd love any nickname around appearance and stuff could be fun.
Nicknames are funny. They come to you at random times.
Well, we've got some conspiracy Jimmy next door.
You asked him you ran it past him before, but I was like, you don't run nicknames past people.
I didn't run it past him. I called him that first and then said, Jimmy, do you like it?
Yeah.
But if
along
he said
with
no,
being Conspiracy Jimmy, he's also 110 kilo muscle man Jimmy.
Yeah,
he's so maybe that's why you're testing it. Yeah, it was
testing
Conspiracy
the water.
Jimmy?
Are both pecs
question?
Okay?
Is that a fucking question or an actual state name?
So on Reddit, we'll get that going.
Yeah, we need to find a nickname for Mason.
And you saw BK had a comment on Reddit too. He was asking, has Reddit failed? Has our The Daily Talk Show Reddit failed?
Mm, it'll fail when it's not up.
Yeah, when we've taken the
Mason's,
whole thing.
Mason's doing the content cull like he did for himself, but for us.
Exactly. No, we are working on bits and pieces at the moment. We've got some exciting stuff happening, but we're rolling it out very slowly.
Yeah. Well, I think
maybe that's a way of us doing nothing but pretending like we're doing stuff.
No, definitely a strategy that people use when they've got nothing going on. But it is also the reality of when you do have stuff going on. I think the energy that we have to bring to each show can't be this explosion, like, which sometimes you want it to.
Sorry about that, Mason.
second laugh of the day for Josh coming in from Mason. Did you keep a tally, Mason?
I did.
You, Josh?
No, it's fine. I don't want to read out the tally. It's the Daily Talk Show. You can email us to hi@thedailytalkshow.com. You're off to deal with hand, foot, and mouth disease.
I've got a 2:45 p.m. doctor's appointment, and he's getting his vaccination. Thank you as well.
So it's 97. Maybe it should include his ATAR number in the
in 97.
The actual
something around the so he's
Mr. 97, Master 97.
Yeah,
just because of
maybe something. Yeah, I'm going to think about this. Yeah. This is for the weekend.
Something around master could be good.
We need
just a sort of hat tip to sort of the younger. When do you stop being called master? Is that 18?
Oh, that's gone.
Yeah,
I thought that was like 16 or something.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
My bank account's not under master anymore. It used to be. Used to be pretty happy with that.
Master.
Yeah. Now he's professor.
He wants master, Mason. I see what he's fucking angling for. Bring back master.
So we'll catch you on Monday, everyone. Have a good weekend.
See you guys.